Welcome to Solutions OP Clinical Trials Podcast. My name is Olga and I'm the Managing Director of Solutions OP. We are a small team of experienced professionals working on clinical trials in the United Kingdom. I'll use our podcast to discuss hot topics in clinical trials and provide analysis of the latest trends and challenges in pharma and medical device industries, not just in the UK, but globally. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast. Today I will be talking about biotech startups and other small companies and what I wish they knew before starting their first clinical trial. It's basically the idea of this episode is to give advice to people who are trying to set up their very first clinical trial. And they don't know where to start and how to organize and their thoughts, really, what is required for them to have a successful clinical trial. So I just want to share some of my experience and hopefully give them some good ideas. So if you're working in a startup and you're looking to find more information, I hope this will be useful. The first thing I would say is that for those of you who have not worked in a startup, it's actually a very difficult job. It requires a lot of energy and dedication and long hours, which are not always paid, these long hours. And the success is not guaranteed, and actually there is a quite high chance of failing and failure. But on the other hand, there are plenty of things that startups can do to help organize their work better and actually be successful. So the first thing that they need to consider when they're setting up their clinical trial is to find the right people. Now, that might sound easy, you know, you just Google and you find a lot of people who offer services and things. So it sounds very straightforward, but it's actually not. The reality is many startups opt out for big CROs and they're hoping that this will give them security because it's established CRO, they know kind of what to expect. But this actually could be quite expensive for them. And the reason for this is simply because the big CROs, especially those that have full service, they have a lot of staff, they have a lot of offices, equipment, so they need to fund all this, which is why usually their fees are quite higher so that they can afford to fund all their operations. And the other big challenge with big CROs is that you might not necessarily get the team which is the most experienced one, because startups normally would have a small budget. So they might have people who are not that experienced and who are still learning how to do the job. Then the second option is to go for a small mid-size CRO. Now, that's tricky too. Because I haven't come across a website where it doesn't state that the company is a leading company. Of course, they tend to, majority of the small and mid-sized CROs, they tend to overstate their capacity and their abilities. I mean, it's understandable, you know, they're trying to find more partners and expand their business. But at the end, the challenge for the startups is if they go for such companies, they might end up working with a lot of different subcontractors. And while some subcontractors might be great, others might not be that great. And you are at risk of having people just abandoning you or halfway through the study or through the setup and a lot of things like that, which I've seen over the years. The third option, of course, is to consider freelancers. Now, if you're going that way, you really need to assess what kind of resources you have internally and what kind of experience you have and what kind of people you need. My personal recommendation is if you work in a startup and you know other startup companies, is always to look for advice from other startups. If they have any experienced freelancers that they can recommend you and other experienced people. To me, that's always the best approach because at least you know you're going to someone who has experience working with startups. Because the issue with a freelancer is you can come across someone who's been working generally with big corporations and big companies. And these people may not necessarily have the most cost-effective solutions for you. Or they might advise you into give you some ideas which are more expensive than you can actually even afford. So I think it's very important to find the freelancers and the advisors who have experience with startups and who can give you some good advice on finding budget solutions for your problems. Now, the second big thing that you need to think about, apart from finding the right people, is what is your regulatory strategy? And things like, oh, I'm in Germany, so I want to target the German market. Well, that's not a regulatory strategy. What I mean here is you really need to find which market you can penetrate quicker and you can place your product there so you can start earning some money. And I think this is the main thing that startups sometimes oversee. They just assume that they need to go into the country where they are rather than finding regulatory intelligence and finding out more information of what's the situation with the different agencies around the world and where is the best place that you can have a good chance of success to get to the market. Because if you target the wrong market, you might not be having all the funds that you have to actually get your product to the market. So that's really important to consider timelines and all other possibilities when you're looking for regulatory advice. The other thing that you need to really consider is scientific advice opportunities. So many regulators offer scientific advice and they have even waivers for their fees for startups. My recommendation is before you go into throw yourself into any clinical trial, make sure you have a scientific advice, ideally from the regulator where you plan to place your product on the market. So that's very critical. What you don't want to happen to you is run a clinical trial and get the data and then all of a sudden they come up and say, well, actually, we need additional data. So you have to do another study, which will cost you, you know, a lot more money. So regulatory strategy, finding the best agency where you want to penetrate the market. This is very important. Second point. So the third also very critical point is make sure you understand the cost of the clinical trial. It's a very common mistake because companies apply for funding, they receive a bulk amount of money, they kind of make like top level estimation. And I say, oh yeah, that'll be enough. It's perfect. And I'll raise funds when I get some data. It's not going to be a problem. But that's not quite right way of thinking, because very often the cost of the actual clinical trial could be significantly more than what you expect. If you don't have experience, if you don't know how to estimate that cost, you can underestimate how much it will cost you, or you might be overpaying for services that you don't need and for things that you don't need. So it's really important to find the right advisor and the right person to give you estimate how much that's going to cost you. Going to a CRO and say, well, just guys, give me a quote, it's not enough. You need someone who can sit down with you, work through the protocol and give you an estimate for the country where you want to go for. And Particularly, I've seen this one with many companies. They tend to look very optimistic at their budget and think that yeah, that's going to be enough. Surely it's going to be fine. And when you actually give them how much it's going to cost them, they're quite startled because they're not expecting it. So that's the main thing that you need to understand. You need to have someone who has experience who can create your budget for you and really advise you on the cost. If you get the costs right, you have a great chance of success. But if you don't get them right, if you don't plan things like, for example, your study might not recruit as per planned timelines, which will add additional fees and additional cost and so on. So you really need to think from different perspectives. So the next very important point, number four, is to make sure you have a very good study design. I cannot stress more on this. It's not a one-man show. Just because you have one or two physicians who've written the protocol, this is not enough. If you're going to run a clinical trial in several countries or in a country which is not your country and where the physicians are based, you really need to find the specialist in these countries to advise you what is the standard of care, how likely is that you recruit patients on this protocol, and really give you some practical advice how to do this study in a way that you can actually recruit patients. You need a lot of people. You need biostatistician at a very early stage. I know they're hard to find, these biostatisticians, but you need that at the very beginning. You need the scientific advice. You need the biostatistician. You need some medic who has experience and who can advise you on the standard of care for in the country where you want to run the clinical trial. You need someone from pharmacovigilance or someone to give you an idea of what kind of safety data you'll need as well. You need someone with a regulatory from the regulatory field who can advise you on the regulatory requirements, what you need to put in the protocol to make sure you meet all the regulatory requirements. So it's not one person or two people write the protocol and there you go, all ready, let's go. As I said, you have to consider this as as your only chance. You have to go and do that study right from the very beginning. Do it right, and then you get the results, and that will really help you later on for the planning of your future studies. But seeking regulatory advice is very critical at this point. So the other part, which is very important, and it's the fifth important part, is to prepare a risk assessment. And that really means worst case scenario. I mean, I really mean it. So you have to sit down and think, what happens if the study doesn't recruit in the expected timeline? Would I have money enough to fund it if I need to expand it for another 1, 2 years? What if I cannot raise more funds? What if there's someone else who is working in the same field and they get results before me? What if you have a drug that turns out doesn't work in that patient population? What if you have any manufacturing issues? So you really need to consider different worst case scenarios, not because you are paranoid. That's not the idea of this. But more to think about possible solutions and see if you're overlooking something in your initial planning of your clinical trial, and try to predict what could potentially happen that you can take into consideration at a very early stage. If you consider all these 5 points in your clinical trial and you sit down and you do a good analysis and you're prepared and you know the costs, and you know which country is the best one for you to go to, I think your startup and your clinical trial will be successful. So it's all down to you to sit down and do your homework really well before you jump into any clinical trials, any exciting activities. So please do your homework very well and make sure you set up your clinical trial for success from the very, very beginning. Thank you for listening.